And then for each of the other legislators.
Madam Chair, that's all I had.
Well, thank you very much. We do appreciate very much the testimony that you have given us today and the work that you have done with us during this evening. And although our working group will cease to exist when we finalize our report, we are not going away.
Thank you
very
much.
We will be here in one form or another. At this time, I would like to invite the producers to the table, please. I would suspect that this time you would like to do it as individual companies, and I'm going to start with ARCO. Mr. Finland, it's our pleasure to welcome you here today on behalf of the working group and the House and Senate. Welcome, and we would like to have you address the Memorandum of Understanding and when we can expect your company to sign that document.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. For the record, my name is George Finlang. I'm an advisor for Government Public Relations, now with the Gas Group for ARCO Alaska. My remarks are really quite short, Madam Chairman. Basically, we support the MOU as a good framework for working with the administration in advancing the gas project to commercialization. We've essentially been ready to execute the MOU for some time. We've been working with the administration on minor comments in a spirit of accommodation, and those have been taken care of. And looking at the final, or at the version we have today, we find that acceptable, and we're ready to execute it. We would want to just review the final words when they're and when the word draft is taken off, and essentially we're ready to execute it at that time.
I would like to say to you that I asked you to come first because I understand that that is the case, that there has not been any foot dragging on the part of your company. I do commend you for that because I do believe this is a project that we need to work to get off the ground. I think ARCO understands that. ARCO is one company that owns the second, let's see, you and Exxon own about the same amount of gas, BP a smaller amount. So it is, I think, very important that you, as one of the larger holders of the gas, have stepped forward, and I think you and your company are to be commended. Committee members, Representative Cabina.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Wasn't there a proposal out there, 2% tax break for the first to sign?
Well, I remember the last meeting that I had with the president of ARCO. I told him I was looking at something like the Venezuela tax, where every time there was a job created for Alaska, and there would be a tax break, and every time there was a job that went out of the state, there would be a tax increase.
That might be a co-sponsor. George, you said that you looked upon this MOU as a very good way to work with the administration. Can you expand that statement? And I'd love to hear you say it, that you also think it's a very good way for your company to be involved with the permit holders also and try to get this moving forward.
Madam Chairman.
Mr. Fenlon.
Representative Cabina, We've been pretty public about what we see needs to be done now to move this project ahead, and we've often said that it comes in really four areas. We want to reduce the costs because the costs are what reduction in costs are what are going to make this project economic. We need to develop a commercial structure, and we've talked often about developing that. We need to work in the marketplace, and we've talked about our trips to the and we'll tomorrow talk more in your committee about marketing. And then work with the state on fiscal terms and conditions. I think Mr. Lohenfels put it well when he said he's taken permits off the critical path for this project. So our focus has been on these four work items, and we see the MOU as helping us in the spirit of moving, especially on that last work item.
Well, I want to say that I think congratulate also your company in signing you to this, not just government relations, but special project on the gas and working with it. I look forward to working with you all the way till the end.
Thank you.
Additional questions by other members of the legislature? There being none, thank you, Mr.
Chair.
Excuse me, Representative Davis.
Thank you. First, I just comment that, you know, the idea to give benefits for Alaska Hire was something I proposed last year in the context of the North Star project. So it's something we've had on the table to think about. The second thing, though, I wanted to ask, you know, and this is, I don't want to hold you to the letter on this, but you heard Commissioner Condon describe some of the sticking points and some of their proposed language. Are you comfortable with the proposed language as you heard it today?
I'm not
specifically. Well, there were three areas that the commissioner talked about making some changes. The first box on page one that
Representative Davis, what I think I heard Mr. Finlan say was that they're comfortable with the language as it exists.
As it is, right. But what I want to know is there was some proposed language that Commissioner Condon had suggested that they might be looking at, and I'm just wondering if they would also be comfortable with the proposed language.
Well, Madam Chair, Representative Davis, I guess the best answer for that is that we do like the resolution
as it is now.
Okay. We'd have to take a look at those.
Okay.
Additional questions? Comments? There being none, again, Mr. Finlan, thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Well, let me see. I just saw BP volunteer back there. Please identify yourself for the record and welcome. It's nice to see you again.
Thank you. Representative Barnes and members of the task force, my name is Mark Pendersky, and I'm the commercial manager for gas for BP Exploration Alaska. I'll keep my comments very brief. I want to also acknowledge the very hard work this task force has done and also acknowledge the very good work that the state administration has done. I also want to reemphasize the four steps that ARCO just mentioned that we are working on, and they are first engineering studies for cost reduction and reduction of cost uncertainty. They are further market, you know, embrace of the market. They are further work on project structure and finally work on fiscal and regulatory issues. I want to really emphasize that all four of these work areas are needed to progress the project. With regard to the MOU, we've been working very hard with the state on the MOU language. We've met with Commissioner Condon earlier this morning, got hold of the latest draft of the MOU. I've discussed this with my boss, BP XA President Richard Campbell. We think the current language is very reasonable, and Richard is planning to send this latest draft to London, and we'll be getting word from them, hopefully in short order.
What do we mean, short order?
Well, I won't speak for how fast London will act, but we intend to bring it to their attention immediately.
Well, we'll ask you that question again tomorrow when we have the resolution, because immediately it's like now.
Yes. In fact, I understand that you'll be meeting with both Richard Campbell and John Morgan tomorrow.
And I can hardly wait.
And I want you to hear it from the horse's mouth.
I'm very much looking forward to that. And just so that there is never any misunderstanding between the new incoming president of BP and the outgoing president of BP, I went into my file cabinet. I retrieved that vial of blood that belongs to John Morgan, and I'm going to show it tomorrow to the new president of BP so he won't have any doubt what happens to him in Alaska in case that one doesn't live up to one's agreements. Not that we're bad or anything like that. We're basically very nice and loving people. And with that in mind, I am more than pleased that you saw fit to contact London and say that you were working towards signing this agreement. And I would also like to say that I would like to see, especially BP, join with ARCO and be more proactive than they have been in the past. And that would just leave Exxon hanging out there by themselves. Other committee members have any questions?
I'll keep quiet this time, I'm sure.
Well, I think you did fine.
There being nothing further, we would love to have Exxon come to the table. Beverly?
Thank you.
Don't you want to bring Mark up here with you?
He just laying back.
I'm comfortable back here.
Well, I just tickled me to death to have you come up here, honey. Beverly, please identify yourself for the record.
I'm Beverly Mensah, Exxon's Business Development Manager, responsible for commercialization of the Alaska Gas Project. I'd like to start off by thanking the working group and all the members of the legislature who have been involved, and Will Condon and the staffs from the various departments within the state that have been working with us on this effort, as represented by the MOU, although there is work going on in other areas also. I think it's an excellent effort, and it's helping move the project forward. In regards to the MOU, I think Commissioner Condon gave a very good description of the issues that Exxon has that are remaining, and I thought what I might do was just add some commentary to that to kind of help expand on those points. Kind of taking them in the same order that Commissioner Condon did, there was an issue regarding the scope and whether the fields include in thinking of fiscal certainty as we continue in our discussions. And the reason we feel like that's very important to the project centers around making this project be the best it can against those worldwide competitors that you so accurately described, Representative Barnes. And the long-term success of an Alaska gas project is dependent on the reliability and stability of the entire LNG chain, from the wells to the final customer. And since any chain is only as strong as its weakest link, we believe that discussions regarding fiscal certainty for the field should continue as we move forward. That is something that exists in many of the projects that we're competing with, and if we want to stay on a level playing field, we need to not foreclose that option. If you look at Prudhoe Bay, which is really the focus here, a lot of people look at the project as what's the new investment you have to put into the project, and that's the project. The project is delivering gas for 30 years after you put in that new investment. And when you take Prudhoe Bay as an example, we're going to have a field that's going to be starting off when it's close to 30 years old and potentially needing to operate till it's 50 or 60 years old. And maintaining the economic reliability of the field and the reliability of the gas supply that needs to be delivered to the Far East is very critical. And moving to the second item that Commissioner Condon discussed, our views are that if the project were economic today, the existing fiscal regime would determine the state's take, and that under the circumstances, that would be fair and reasonable without any changes as we look at the system today. However, the current fiscal system as being evaluated may not ideally meet the project's needs in helping it become commercially viable. So as we work with the state to develop a supportive fiscal regime, we want to keep the parties whole to the extent possible while developing a commercially viable project. On the third item, regarding the Alaska Higher language, this has obviously been a very important issue to many people in the state, And the hiring of Alaskans is very important to Exxon as well. For an Alaska North Slope gas project to move forward and for Alaskans to derive benefits from it, the project must be commercially viable and able to compete with other fuels and potential LNG projects. So we've been working with the state to capture the wording that reflects the hiring of qualified Alaska residents and businesses to participate in the cost-competitive construction and operation of a project.
Well, Beverly, I read the language.
Mm-hmm.
And I cannot possibly see how you'd have any problems with it. And beyond that, the next time I hear this commercially viable, I may get sick. Because commercially viable can mean anything to anybody, and it is just another way, in my opinion, of dragging your feet. Because I think what's really at play here, where Exxon is concerned, is this little map. See all those little gas projects that I think stand to displace Alaska's gas in the marketplace? And that if we don't get our feet in that door, what I choose to refer to as the window of opportunity, by 2005, that in my lifetime, and I've already promised you in my lifetime, one way or the other, we're going to see this gas pipeline. But if we don't have a market, because all these other projects, that primarily Exxon affiliate signs Yemen LNG agreement. Same size, competing with our project. All of these projects compete with Alaska. And if we allow any one of you producers to sit around here and do nothing until the time comes for us to get our gas into the marketplace, it will not get there because we will be displaced. You know it and I know it. So I'm willing to hear you refute in any way you can that these projects exist, that these projects are projects that will displace us in the marketplace. I'm willing to hear your comments.
Okay. In regards to the projects clearly exist. And our estimate says that looking at all the projects worldwide that are being developed, there's probably about twice as much LNG being developed out there that the market can absorb by 2010. So it's important for us, as you say, to be ready and be there with our project. We also have to be there with the best terms to beat the competition. And Exxon does not prioritize projects. We're not waiting behind anybody. Each project team works independently. And if you were to take that chart and change every Exxon logo to a Shell logo, if that gave you any measure of comfort, it would just be a false security. Because regardless of who owns the project, everybody is working to bring their project forward to the market. And so it's up to us to make ours the best project that's there with the right terms at the right time to get in the market.
And Beverly, that's what we're doing here.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we have been working all summer to make sure that our project was the best project and that it got into the marketplace ahead of all the others. And I know you could change it to Mobil or Chevron or whatever. The gas would still exist.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not owned by the other companies. It's owned by you, a 30% holder in Alaska's gas. And we are going to find a way, one way or the other. And I'm going to be quite blunt with you. I am having it researched if we can take that gas away from the producers that do not come to the table. That we as a state can take back that resource that belongs to the people of the state of Alaska and get it into that window of opportunity that exists for us. Because I know, and you know, the door will close. Any of the other committee members have anything they wish to say? Representative Cabina.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess I would just like to add that think that we would all like to sort of walk. I'm the moderate this year. I'm bringing the minority and the majority together, so maybe I'll bring everybody together. We all want to walk down this path together, though. And we don't want a fight, but you can feel some frustration coming from mm-hmm. our side. And I think a little bit of it is maybe dates back from 89 and the spill, and still some things that maybe Exxon hasn't felt like a real partner in the state completely since then.
And they can't accuse me of that. I've always been their friend.
Well, I don't think anybody's trying to be anybody's enemy here. But what I'm trying to say is, if you will take back to your corporate office maybe some of the frustration that you're seeing with us, trying very hard to make a good project become a better project. I got the sense from listening to the commissioner and listening to you, there is some mixing up of apples and oranges when we're talking about the total project, and mixing up maybe a little bit of gas and oil. And I can tell you that my discussions or comments to the commissioner about making sure that we look out for the public interest is that I don't think any of us want to give up things from one thing in order to get another thing that is really unrelated. So I hope you'll take back a positive message to your corporate headquarters. And I think the governor has tried to send a very positive one. And 2 years in a row now, coming down and visiting with the people at the highest levels to try to get a good working relationship together. And I think all of us at this table want one too. But we just get like we want to pound the table sometimes mm-hmm. because it doesn't seem like things are going the way they could that would make it be a lot better and easier and faster. So I'll leave you with that.
Okay. Well, I can assure you I will take your message back.
Don't forget to take mine, too.
Yes. Everybody.
You can buy the tape from Gavel and let them watch.
We will. They will, I'm sure. I'd also like to reassure you that Exxon is participating actively in all the work that's going on now, that the four areas that both George Finling and Mark Bendersky identified we're equal to participants in. The MOU is a framework for long-term efforts, and there is no work being delayed while the MOU negotiations have been going on. The spirit of the MOU has been in action and progressing.
We appreciate those comments, but just remember, commercially viable can be interpreted by anybody, anytime, any way to delay anything, if you want to do it. Representative Davies.
Thank you. Well, you agreed that Commissioner Condon had outlined substantially the kind of the disagreement between you and the state of Alaska with respect to this language. Can you give us any kind of time frame that we could expect these, what seem to me to be relatively minor points of disagreement, to be resolved?
At this point, I can't specify a time frame. It's dependent on future discussions, both of the state and within Exxon and the other parties to the agreement.
Could you characterize for us the level of urgency that Exxon feels to resolve these issues?
We feel a great sense of urgency to resolve the issues because we feel like the issues are important to the project and will help to move the project forward.
Thank you.
Senator Sharp.
I hesitate to jump into this fray since I was so late, but just commenting on the Alaska Hire definition problem and quantifying it. It seemed to me any corporation that has operated in Alaska for over 20 years should pretty well understand who is an Alaskan resident and who is not an Alaskan resident. I think most of us sitting at this panel knows one when we sees one, and I don't think there's much problem agreeing on who that is. Obviously, if they are 2 weeks on and 2 weeks off, and they're 2 weeks off, they continue going south past Seattle, I don't consider him an Alaska resident. Mm-hmm. That's one simple answer. And there's mm-hmm. many other ways to do it. So the definition there is not too difficult, but I guess legally it may be if you had to fight it in court, which I hope we'd never have to do.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Senator Sharp, does that conclude your remarks?
Yes.
Madam Speaker?
Madam Chairman? Beverly, I have one question. How many people does Exxon have working on this project today in Alaska?
In Alaska. We have, let me think on in Alaska, we have 37 total, not counting contractors we're funding. In Alaska, maybe about half a dozen.
Could you identify those for us, please?
The ones that came to mind were Jim Branch, Mark Boudreau, Dan Seckers. Can I ask a question? It's working environmental.
Mike Barker.
Mike Barker. I apologize. And Mike Barker, Rob Dragnich. And then support staff also that are involved.
And before you can sign this memorandum of agreement, do all of you have to buy off on that? And then do you have to send the language to corporate headquarters somewhere else in the world? And we have to all wait for a whole nother staff in another location to go through all of this?
Well, our version of BP's London is Dallas. And they have been aware of the discussions going on with the MOU, and yes, they will have final approval on the MOU.
Beverly, would you tell the committee where you're from?
Houston, Texas.
And would you also tell them how much time you've spent up here working on this gas pipeline?
I would estimate my time in Alaska has been 25% to 30%. My total time on the project, probably 80% to 90%.
What does that mean, 80% to 90%, 25% to 30%? You've been here 10 days in the last year or 2 days in the last year?
I have been traveling to Alaska in late 96, approximately twice a month, for basically a week, maybe coming up Monday, going home on Friday, for various steering team meetings, monthly meetings we've had with the commissioners and working with the state. Now, since the activity has been initiated here within the legislature, I came up Wednesday and I went home Sunday and I come back Tuesday and I go home Friday and I come back Monday and then I go home Friday. So
home
essentially
to Houston, right?
Houston.
So in other words, you have no one in Alaska that is assigned here permanently working on this project for Exxon. And don't tell me Jim Branch or Mark Boudreau, because I know that's not their job.
I'm Exxon's steering committee representative, working comparable position with Mark Vendersky and David Lawrence in ARCO. And so I have the prime responsibility to develop the commercialization of the reserves.
But you hear very seldom.
Feels like a lot. My kids complain.
Representative Hodgins.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Beverly, I'm going to have the honor of being the oil and gas chairman, and so I'm going to be one of the committees shepherding this through the next 2 years. And I would like to, if possible, get a timeline as to what Exxon believes they can do as far as making this pipeline a reality. And maybe we'll have committee meetings next week, and maybe on your return, if you can give me an idea so I can relate that to the committee, mm-hmm. what we can expect in realities. Thank you.
Okay. In the near-term timeline, as we just move forward, we have a full year of work outlined by 8 different technical teams, and they will continue to work through 97. In the fiscal arena, we have the proposed resolution that will be presented through the legislature, and assuming that passes and authorizes the governor to work on developing a fiscal contract, then we see that work continuing through the year and coming back possibly the next session with a draft well, not draft, the final fiscal contract for proposal to the legislature for ratification. And in the project structure arena, we need to work on better defining who the actual project participants will be and what the agreements might be surrounding their participation in future work in the project. And in 98, we'll test progress in all those areas, including the market. I didn't mention it because I don't see a significant hurdle there. We just will continue to monitor and make sure, you know, that we're meeting their needs. But we'll test technical, fiscal, market, and project structure and see if everything is progressing towards, you know, a viable project.
Thank you. Could I ask for that in maybe a written form that I might distribute that amongst the committee members?
Yes.
And then any other hurdles you might see that we need to address.
Okay.
Thank you.
And could you also supply all of us in writing a timeline when we can expect you to sign the MOU?
I don't know that I can, but we will continue to progress the signing of the MOU.
I'm perfectly satisfied with the language that's in the MOU. You might tell that to Exxon in Houston.
I will.
Thank you. Additional questions or comments by committee members? There doesn't seem to be any, Beverly, and we will look forward to you spending a little more time here with us so that you don't have to spend so much time on the jet. And that maybe we can resolve some of these issues a little faster. We can get this MOU signed. Is there anyone else that would like to testify before the committee? Would you please come forward? Please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Barbara Huff-Tuckness. I'm the Director of Governmental and Legislative Affairs for Teamsters Local 959, and I've sat through the hearing tonight, and I first of all want to congratulate you, Madam Chair, and also members of your task force and those legislators that worked very hard last year through this process, as well as those newly elected legislators that we welcome on board to continue through this process. I spoke earlier this afternoon. Jerry Hood, Secretary Treasurer of the Teamsters, unfortunately was delayed in Washington, D.C. He would have loved to have been here and I'm sure would have enjoyed going through this particular process. I felt in sitting here and listening tonight to a lot of the discussion, it kind of brings back some old discussions that we had last year with respect to North Star, and unfortunately we're still waiting for North Star to happen, and we're sure that it will. One of the issues that we did have, and I think something that has been addressed with many of the members sitting here this evening, is local hire, Alaskan hire, and that indeed the qualifications and or the training be a major center and or focus as members of your task force in oil and gas and any of the other committees through the Senate and or the House as you're going through this particular process. We have spent, in particular, the last 12 months extensive amount of time working with Yukon Pacific in addressing those training needs and or issues out there. Teamsters represents roughly about 7,000 members across the state of Alaska in various areas. We recognize also the need and the concern to have qualified, trained employees working through this particular project and a project of this size. And with that, we encourage the time and the efforts that have been spent with each and every one of you sitting here tonight, and we'll do whatever we can to continue supporting that process. Thank you.
Thank you. Committee members have any questions? Representative Hodgins.
Yes, Barbara. Thank you for coming forward this evening. On the training issues, are the unions going to want to conduct the training, or are we looking for the community colleges or vocational schooling to conduct the training, working in concert with unions? How do you foresee that?
Madam Chair, Representative Hodgins, I guess I'm here tonight speaking on behalf of Teamsters, and we do have a training program that has been up and running for many years. Although I can't speak on behalf of the other unions out there, yes, they also have training facilities out there. And at this particular point in time, at least what I understand the discussions that have occurred, it's a real focus on what are those needs going to be so that we can, over the next year, the next couple of years, hopefully, be up and running with whatever those efforts are. I would also assume that there would probably, looking at the massiveness of this particular project, be some joint efforts out there with other organizations as well.
Madam Chair, if I can continue.
Representative Hodgins.
I would hope that you and I could get together before the Oil and Gas Committee hears the resolution next week and discuss the training concepts that we might be able to work together on. And then I can report that to the committee, and maybe at a later meeting you can report to the committee.
I'd be happy to do that.
Thank you very much.
Additional questions or comments of Barbara? There being none, Barbara, thank you very much for coming forward. We do appreciate it. To the task force members and to those of you that are present, we will take the results of today's testimony, and we will put a final chapter into our working draft. That working draft will become then the document that will be submitted to the legislative branch on February the 1st or before, if we're able to conclude it before that time. Tomorrow, the outgrowth of the work that we have done is HCR 1. HCR 1 will be before the World Trade State Federal Relations Committee. I do believe, because of the interest today, that instead of having it here in this room, we will move, if at all possible, to House Finance, where we have more room, because there will be a larger number of people that will be, I'm certain, testifying on the resolution itself. I'd like to thank all of you for participating in the hearings that we have had. We will look forward to continuing to work as individual legislators and committee members and chairmen to move this resolution and the gas pipeline to completion to put Alaska's gas into the market by 2005. Representative Davies.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I realize that I'm not a member of the committee, but I would like to make two suggestions with respect to the report as we have it in front of us.
You're certainly welcome.
They're
to
small
make
and specific. On the last page, again, the thing that I read before under State Administration, the end of the third line is the word realistic. I would suggest that you substitute the word certain, so it would read under certain assumptions instead of under realistic assumptions. And secondly, I would suggest in the next line where it says the project to become attractive, to substitute be more for become, so it would read for the project to be more attractive. I think, ma'am, Chair, that I'm concerned that if you put out this statement the way it is now, that it puts a certain pall over the project that I don't believe that we heard the administration really believes at this time, and that this would be, if it were read the wrong way by the wrong people, it might have some harm. So I would hope that you consider that.
Thank you very much. We consider that constructive, and we will certainly consider that in the context of the report prior to the time we deliver it.
Thank you.
Additional questions or comments? There being none, Madam Speaker, I want to thank you very much, because I know in your position how very busy you are for coming and taking the time to sit with us to hear this project. And again, thank you.
Certainly this is one of the most important things facing us today.
Thank you very much. We're adjourned.